Right now, time for Stephen Brunt. Good morning, Stephen. What is happening?
Well, it's another beautiful day here in Newfoundland. Had a big party here last night, so
I was gonna say, when's the poetry drinky fest? Is that what it's called? The
that is the proper name. Yeah, thanks, Boom. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's Writers at Woody Point, the 16th season of Writers at Woody Point begins this evening. So last night was kind of a little kickoff party in the backyard for about 75 people, and it was great. I'm already tired, which is bad. I shouldn't be tired. It hasn't started yet, but I'm already feeling it today. So,
do you feel pressure now? Because you say 16 years, you can't just decide, you know what? I'm kind of tired. I don't feel like doing it this year. Like the pressure's on now.
Yeah, it's kind of I didn't sign a lifetime contract. To have a whole other job and that I don't get paid for, but and it is fun, but. Yeah, it does kind of eat up a big chunk of my year, and there are times when I would like to just sit and watch it, but this thing has been a blast. It is a real labor of love, and I know I've talked about it before, but it's a very cool event. You know, you get a really interesting mix of people show up here, and they hear good music and they listen to good writers and they have a good time and in a place that's like the most beautiful place in the world. So it's fun for me. Like the fun part is, the best part is seeing people show up here for this for the first time. And among the people who will be showing up for it the first time this year are a group of our good friends from Sportsnet. So that they arrive tomorrow, that will be fascinating.
I bet it would be a little bit of fish out of water, I would guess.
Well, that's right. So, it'll be, I'm not sure how that's going to work. And our former boss is going to be here as well.
Really?
So, Mr. Moore, who's now in partnership with LeBron James, of course he is. So, Scott Moore will be here, and Arash Madani will be here, and Carolyn Cameron will be here, and a variety of other folks behind the scenes at Sportsnet. And I am going to turn them loose on Woody Point and see what comes of it.
How does that happen, by the way? I'm now working for LeBron James. Where do you apply for that?
Yeah, I know. Well, and Drake is his buddy now too. I saw a picture of him hanging with Drake.
I did too.
Was it great?
Scott Moore, LeBron James, and Drake. He's which one? Which one doesn't belong? And he was trying his best.
One of these things.
Very
one
cool.
One of these things is not like the others. Yeah, he's not very cool at all. But he's having fun.
Yeah.
He's more hip hop than he used to be.
What do you want to talk about? What do we got going on? It's kind of are these the dog days of summer? Is this where we're at?
Yeah, they are sort of. Except the one thing I will say, weirdly enough, is that they're dog days of summer, and you got a non-contending baseball team that has been a non-contending baseball team since about the 10th of May, and I've got more people who want to talk to me about, the Vladdy Guerrero 13-pitch at-bat against Aroldis Chapman that ended in a double play, and what do I think of Bo Bichette? Or, there's a lot of chatter, we talk about the Jays all the time, but there's a legitimate amount of chatter around that team at a time when I think a lot of us would have, if you'd asked me 6 weeks ago, I'd say, well, it's going to be a death march after the trade deadline. They're going to get rid of a bunch of guys and stumble home and, let's start thinking about spring training. It's been way more interesting than that. And, look at who pitched last night. And I know they scored like a million runs, but look at who pitched last night and they won that game. It's the weird and wonderful things are happening at the moment.
Youth is a funny thing because we saw it happen here a number of years ago. This is pre-Gaudreau. This is pre-Monahan. Mm-hmm. When you had Robin Regier, Jerome Iginla, Alex Tangay, Ole Jokinen, and Mika Kiprusoff, and expectations were high. This is a team making a lot of money. A lot of veterans were here to win. And it was, I'm exaggerating to make a point. It was almost unwatchable because you could tell that the give-a-crap meter was so low on these players. Jay Bouwmeester was there. You knew Iginla was being traded. You knew Tangay wasn't coming back. All these players were leaving. And the thought was, what's going to be left when they trade all of these players? What, it's just going to be a skeleton. But you bring in young players from the farm, and you knew Gaudreau was going to be something special. But then youth when they don't know any better and they're excited to be there, they play harder, and chances are the results are the same, if not better, just by putting in younger players. Now, again, these are potentially generational type guys. Bo Bichette is looking that way, and certainly Vladdy.
Mm-hmm.
But man, just knocking the mold and the stink off of a roster can do amazing things sometimes.
You know, it's a great point. And I look, I'm going to speak completely out of ignorance here, because I have no idea what it's like to be in a, you know, major league clubhouse with the doors closed, or a hockey NHL dressing room, you know, when the guys are in there among themselves. I have no idea. So, you know, if Rhett was here, I would ask him. But I don't, but one thing you do pick up from teams sometimes, you know, in a losing season, we talk a lot, you know, there's the cliche of veteran leadership. Well, you need those veteran guys in the room, because those veteran guys will keep the kids' heads on straight and, you know, help them pull themselves out of a slump, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? Veteran guys also know when to quit, right? Like, they know when the season's over. They can look around and say, you know what? We're not that good. And they start, veteran guys start thinking about the offseason before kids do. Veteran guys start thinking about their contracts before kids do. Veteran guys talk to their agents, you know, like, and that, you know, like, it's, you know, it's interesting that the Jays now have, you know, Justin Smoak's the last guy standing, right? They have really stripped it bare, and you would say, well, that's risky. You know, you can't have where's the veteran leadership? But I saw this team at the end of last year, and, you know, Gibby was checked out because he knew he was gone. Russell Martin was checked out because he wasn't playing. They brought Jansen up. You know, Troy Tulowitzki wasn't playing, but when he was around, he was miserable. That was a bad room. You know, it was a dead room at the end of last year. Got a little better with the September call-ups, but, you know, it was a bunch of guys. 162 games is a long time, and, you know, if you know you're done 60 games into 162, man, you know, it's... And so, yeah, everybody's trying hard. Everybody's happy to be in the big leagues. It's fun. So, yeah, I think that's a really good comparison.
We have some Robot Brunt just kind of jumping in there. Well, let's do a quick reconnect. You want to do that?
I will try again on this, and we can go to the old technology if we have to. Let me try this quickly. Okay?
We'll do a quick disconnect. But we sat in that old studio, and you just looked at each other. It can't be worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
Watching veterans, like you say, who they got kids in school. They're just thinking about the off season.
Yeah, the beaches.
And we talk about it all the time. When Alex Tanguay showed up for the exit interviews with his Titleist hat on, he was just so... No one was sad. They knew they weren't making the playoffs. They were so relieved the season was over. And I guess I get that to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to watch this anymore. Please bring up some kids and let them do their thing. Steven, we got you back. When you talk to people...
Does that sound... Yeah, am I robotic still,
no,
or am I okay now?
It's smooth like butter.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Bo Bichette, what are we seeing with this kid? Because you could tell from his first at-bat, he was very comfortable. He just looks not a big guy, but man, neither was Dustin Pedroia. There was a lot of guys that were a little diminutive in stature, but were hell of a ball player. What are we seeing here with Bo Bichette?
Well, I'll tell you something. I saw him in Double-A the first time, and a couple of years ago, and... Like, he's got a bit of swag to him, right? Like, he does not lack confidence. And, you know, it's been interesting seeing him. I think Vladdy got a lot of the heat, you know, in terms of media and expectation and obviously his arrival. And he played with Vladdy. And, you know, I remember we were down there with the crew following Vladdy around. And there's, you know, Bichette kind of watching it and biding his time. I think he's got a lot of self-belief. You know, he's got that funky swing, and he didn't want to change it, and, you know, essentially told teams that said, we don't like your swing, well, don't draft me then. Do not pick me, because I'm not changing what I do. And the Jays were one of the teams that were willing to kind of go along with it. So there's, again, that tells you, son of a major leaguer, who was also known for, you know, lots of swag, Dante. But he's backing it up, right? Like, there's a guy, you know, the week before he was brought up to the big leagues, he had the worst week of his season in Buffalo. Like with Triple A, he had a terrible week, and you know they brought him up right on the tail of that. And you thought, well, man, if the guy's not hitting in Triple A, How's he going to, you know, how's he going to adjust to the majors? And then he goes on at the, you know, the greatest rookie first week in history, just about. He's special. You know, he really is. And you know, he's not going to hit 400 for the season. He will cool off. Pitchers will adjust to him. They'll try other stuff with him. But, you know, presumably they're already doing that, right? They've already got a little bit of a book on him now. And, you know, like last night, you know, he gets four hits and he looks comfortable enough in the field. Like, I think one of the reasons that they made the Freddie Galvis move yesterday is I think they want him at shortstop every day, and I think they want to know absolutely if he's an everyday shortstop or if he's going to have a positional change at some point. So that's the one question. He's looked fine so far, but he is extremely confident about his defense too. But at the plate, and you put him in a lineup with a bunch of other guys who, and he can run the bases, and yeah, what's not to like.
Obviously, this season kind of a wash as last night's win pulls the Jays within 22 games of 500. But
yes.
Has the success of Bichette and Guerrero turning things around and Gurriel looking legit, does that change the goalpost for next season?
It might. You know, like the question is how, you know, what the next step is. And I know people saying, well, the next step is to go out and sign a bunch of guys and spend a bunch of money. But there are two issues with that. One is the free agent crop next year isn't going to be great this winter, especially with pitching. Number two, free agent means that it's up to the player. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they're looking for money, but they might also be looking for a more clear-cut contending situation, some of them. And three is that historically the Jays have had trouble getting free agents to sign in Toronto. That they just, you can go back and on one hand kind of count the big-time free agent signings, you know, unless you want to go all the way back to, you know, Dave Winfield or something. But, you know, the A.J. Burnett's and B.J. Ryan and, you know, Russell Martin, probably the biggest one ever. Russell Martin, they had to give him 5 years instead of four. And he was coming back to the city he was born in. So I don't know, you know, the question is how do you accelerate? And probably how you accelerate is through trade. And it's wheeling prospects to get better prospects or guys who are more positionally useful to you or guys who are more advanced. And I think there's just a lot of guys that they still want to get a look at and see evolve a little bit further. You know, the guys who are available that they might trade right now are guys who don't have a ton of value. So, you know, would they go? They're not going to trade Nate Pearson, right? You know, they're not. They're not going to trade the Pardino kid. They're not going to trade the guys they've drafted high in the last two or three years. So they're a little still a little bit twixt in between. So I'm not sure you can accelerate in 2020, but you know, I think, you know, if this is a 500 team next year, which with a little bit of pitching is not out of the question, boy, then you're right on the cusp, you know. And 500 could feel like contending at the deadline too. Like, that's the other thing, you know, this year, you know, if you were 500 at the trade deadline, you were in a wild card race. So that, I think, you know, there could be fan pressure to do it. The interesting thing will be how the embattled front office tries to stay the course, you know, and kind of keep to their to the blueprint that they've established.
Maybe this is wishful thinking, but would guys like Guerrero and Bichette not maybe draw a bit more free agent eyes than players in the past have?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess, although, you know, again, the history would suggest it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard to get those guys in. You know, the other thing is look at the big free agent contracts that have been handed out to pitchers in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s the last few years, and you tell me how many of them have paid off. You know, so
yeah,
it's not just about being willing to spend the money, it's about whether it's a good idea to spend the money. Now they have loads of payroll room. They've got almost no payroll for next year. So they could spend $100 million and sign a couple of big time guys. You know, they don't have to go to 150 or 160 because they got so many young players. But, you know, you don't, you know, as much as people moaned when David Price signed with Boston after 2015, that David Price contract is awful, you know. And, you know, the Jays got as much out of Jay Happ during those years that they had him as they would have got out of David Price. So I think you're going to see, you know, maybe guys with a little more up, like Matt Shoemaker is a reclamation project that was working really well until he hurt his knee. You know, Clay Buchholz was a restart, you know, maybe get one more year out of him. That didn't work at all. I would think they would pitch a little higher next year, but, you know, I don't think you're going to see, you know, whoever the guy is at the top of the food chain in terms of starting pitching next year, I don't think he's going to be coming to Toronto.
Moving into the CFL for a second, the phrase has always been just got to play a solid 60 minutes. That apparently isn't the case if there's lightning for an hour. What did you make of the cancellation in Montreal?
New one on me, yeah. You know, but there's a lot of new ones on me, but I don't believe, you know, given that they played a Grey Cup game once where guys almost died in the mud, right? Almost suffocated. It's a bad look. It's a bad idea to have 20,000 people out in a lightning storm. And if the weathermen are telling you it's not going to get better, there are some liability issues there for the, you know, for the actual paying customers. So I get it. I didn't know they had a policy, though. Did you?
No, I had no idea.
No idea.
We have a policy, do you? Yes, right? Tell them. Of course, right? Tell him about the policy we have. Well, we have a policy. Oh, can you tell me anything about it? Well, it's a very detailed policy, but we have one. Just rest assured, we have one. You don't need to know anything more about it. It's very, say it with me, very CFL-y.
Well, yes, and you know whether or not that policy is written on a paper towel from Molson Stadium, it's entirely possible. But I'm not saying it's a wrong decision. I think if you had many people electrocuted, that would probably be worse than canceling a football game. But I've never seen it before. I've seen lots of games suspended for a long. You know, we've had those crazy delays. You know, on the prairies for lightning storms, but yeah, something new. It's that kind of year, right? This is a bit of a wonky CFL season. I don't think anyone's putting this one in the time capsule. Now, when the Ticats win the Grey Cup, I will change my mind. but that aside, I don't know that anybody believes this has been a season to remember.
Clinging to that, are you still?
Oh yeah. Well, look, we've almost clinched the East, right? Where it's almost taken care of. You only got to win one game to get to the Grey Cup now.
You're not wrong.
Yeah,
I'm not wrong.
What is this league?
Just have to hold off Edmonton in the East final, and you'll be all right.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Edmonton beat Edmonton in the East final. That's pretty much laid out for they got a lot of time to prepare for the game now.
I can't remember a time where we're halfway through the CFL season and we know basically nothing about any. We know Toronto and BC kind of suck, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they really suck. And you know, you've got other teams where you've got injury asterisks where you say, well, if so and so gets healthy, then they might get better. BC played better in Hamilton. Got to give them some credit. The Hamilton kind of pulled. It was a bit of a Houdini act in that game. Hamilton didn't necessarily deserve to win that game. But, the Argos are what they are, and, you know, Montreal is better, but, you know, Ottawa can't score. They got a terrible offense. Weird to see, and again, I've been harping on this a lot, but weird to see the lack of kind of offensive firepower in the league. You know, wide open offense, just stuff's not working. You know, it's a year that's been dominated by special teams and defense, and I guess by quarterback injuries, right? But a lot of great special teams plays, a lot of returns. Maybe they're not calling as many cheap penalties on returns this year. Where are the offensive shootouts? Where are the gunslinger quarterbacks that you're not seeing right now?
Well, and the team at the top of the league, of course, tied with the Fighting Tiger Cats, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers need two kick return touchdowns, two interceptions, and a couple sacks to beat the Stamps by two. Like that, it's not necessarily a high powered offense for the team that's tops in the West right now either.
No, well, and it's not going to be with Matt Nichols playing quarterback. Like he is what he is. They got a great running back, you know, and they'll ride him as far as they can. They've got a very good defense, good teams, good special teams, but you know, again, if it's Matt Nichols and Dane Evans facing off in the Grey Cup, that's not two Hall of Famers. Like I think I'm just guessing that neither of those guys are going to be enshrined as the guys were last weekend.
Well, you could just hear the Grey Cup tickets flying off the shelves out here.
That would not be the easiest sell in the world, would it? There'll be a busload of us from Hamilton will go. That's what I can tell you.
Wow. Well, you'll have lots of elbow room.
lots of space. Yeah. Yep, spread out.
Section all to yourself. So quickly, I guess, run us through. So the festival starts today. Run us through give us the if we had a program to see what was coming. Let's see it.
Well, I invite people. Go to our beautiful website, writers@woodypoint.com, and you'll see it. But we have concerts the first two nights, start tonight, tomorrow, and then a mixture of readings and music. We have some cool people here. Jeremy Dutcher, who won the Polaris last year, is here doing music. Barney Benthal's here this year. A bunch of great writers. Lyndon McIntyre's here. Mark Critch. Sheila Rogers hosts. And I'm I am the jack of all trades. So I do a variety of things this week. From, you know, putting out fires to, you know, occasionally singing karaoke. So it's a fine and dandy time.
So this is all yours, right? This is your thing?
Well, I'm
presented
of,
by,
you know,
Scotiabank?
Yeah, that's us. We like them. Yeah, Scotiabank, Rogers. You see Rogers there. Rogers is a sponsor. There are all kinds of, we have some very generous sponsors. I'm the artistic director. That's my title. That means I get to carry cases of beer up the stairs, too.
That's a treat. What a perk.
Yep.
All right.
It's a hell of a time, man. Anybody wants to come in a future year, like where we're sold out, start planning for 2020. It'll be great.
Very nice. All right. Have a great time, Stephen.
All right. Thank you.